Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here again tonight, you know, on the Cosmic Connections. If you want to be just to be patient with me a little bit, I got into a discussion with Blanca and I forgot to bring myself onto Facebook, and now I am there. I'm live on Facebook, so I want to say hi to everybody there, and I appreciate everybody joining us on Blog Talk Radio as well. And it's nice to be back here. It's the evening of December 9th as we are doing this program. It's 6 p.m. on the West Coast and it's 9 p.m. on the East Coast, where I am in my home here in Florida. And we've had a two-week break. Last week, I basically said there was some other stuff that was going on, and it was best that I didn't come on and do a program. The week before that was the night before Thanksgiving, so it's been 3 weeks. But we're glad to be back, and we're going to talk about some great stuff here tonight. It's all the drama that is starting to build up with what's going to be taking place with the election issue and what else did I talk about? The stuff that was going on. The New World Order. It's all the issue around the New World Order. So that's the stuff we're going to discuss tonight. But with that, Blanca, I want to thank you again for joining us here on the program tonight. And how are you doing on this fine evening?
I'm doing very well. And just like you, excited at all the developments. It really seems that all the things we've been talking about and our listeners have been paying attention to, it's crystallizing right before our very eyes. You mentioned the issue with the elections and things that are going to come out because of that. Then the Great Reset versus the Great Awakening. So there's a lot happening right now.
Yes. Well, last week what I did, I sent out to you folks a recording of Barbara Marciniak as she channels with the Palladians. And I really want to be upfront about this. I'm very cautious about channeled messages, because if you are like me and you listen to a lot of them, you find that there's some of them, they still got their ego too much involved in it. Or there isn't what I call a clarity or a real sense of authenticity to what they're bringing through. Or a lot of them, they're just what I call fluffy information. Well, what I like about Barbara Marciniak, she's been doing this for 32 years. So she stood the test of time as the Palladians come through here. Now, it's also important to understand that they have an ulterior motive about why they're doing this. And you can listen to some of her early programs if you want to understand that. And you can read the books that she's put out. She's had three different channeled books that they come through. And those are excellent, excellent sources. And here's what's amazing. These books were done between 20 and 30 years ago, but they're so relevant to what is going on today. Now, what I sent to you was part one. It was the first 2 hours of the day that she had done that. And then it was on, I think it was Sunday afternoon, part two came out. Now, I want to respect what Barbara Marciniak is doing. When you go onto her website, she asked you to pay at least $5 to be able to download or listen to the recordings. That's how she makes a living. That's part of what she does. And I want to respect that. So I'm not going to send out part two. If you want that, it's really great. It's a continuing extension of the message that was in part one. But you can just go to her website. You can Google her, Barbara Marciniak. And then you can basically, you can pay the $5 or more, whatever it is you want for the recording for part two. And you also can get put on her list so that you're always notified when they come in. I did that, you know, remember, when I send this out, I get a couple thousand people that are going to see that newsletter. So there's probably, you know, 1,000 or more people that had listened to that recording. And I paid the $5 for it, but I think she would probably be okay for me doing that to the large list, because then she'll pick up more listeners and more people who would like to pay. But so I'm not going to send out part two to you folks. I think that's something that you can do for yourself, because I want to respect her and not be abusing what, you know, she is asking for. So thank you for understanding that. So, and Blanca, is there anything else that you want to share with us tonight before we get into the program?
I enjoyed also listening to the channel, the Palladians. They had a lot of good points to share. And I think what I've noticed about her channeling, they are very pertinent, and they do will include the multidimensional aspects and cosmic aspects, but they get down to brass tacks too, and that's what makes it interesting. There's a bigger context to what they share.
They're really good about talking about what I call pragmatic, down-to-earth, real-world issues for us. But yet they get to share it from the perspective of how they see it from a multidimensional aspect. Because you remember, when you're in their level of dimension, there is no such thing as time. You see, we live in a world where time is linear. But Einstein said there is no such thing as time. All past, present, and future is simultaneous. So when you get into the higher dimensions, time is not linear. Time is vertical. So it's called vertical time. And so it's like they're somewhere along this vertical ladder. And what we're doing, we're focusing, in December 2012. Well, they can see December 2012, and then they can also see the future. Now, they are very clear, though, that seeing the future is not an absolute. They see the future because events are generated by the energy of the collective consciousness of humanity. And so our collective consciousness is already developing what we would call the future. And it's the energy that goes out. And so they can read that energy to see. Let's say, if we're in December, 2020, they can see March 2021 based on the energy of today that we're producing out at this time. Well, as a collective, we could choose to shift and change our minds collectively. And so the event could possibly come out a little bit different than what they say. Now, that's why multidimensional beings can project the future, but it doesn't always come out that way. It's usually fairly close. But what they're doing, they're reading it. They're reading the energy based on what's happening in the current moment. And so, but they've been very, very clear about the fact that, Trump's not leaving the White House and how this thing was going to play out. And it's going to be a lot of drama around it. And it was going to get very dramatic. And they were saying that even a couple of months ago. And they even elaborated more on that in the part two of the message that she had talked about. So that's what's unfolding. Now, let me just say some things very briefly about the currency exchange and why I bring this in. Because it was about 2 weeks ago when I had received my update from my brokers in conjunction with the Texas Processing Office. They were passing on, and it's not absolute, but it was almost certain that the funds were not going to be released until the issue around who was going to be president was settled. And we're going to start seeing that developing, because it was 3 or 4 weeks ago on the program, right after the election, I was basically saying that this is almost certainly going to go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will make the decision on what's going to happen between Biden and Trump. Well, the Trump had been presenting a lot of cases that were being turned down by the courts left and right. Well, there was a reason for that. The reason was because they'd bring up a case, but they weren't bringing what was called hard concrete deliberative evidence of what they were stating. So that's why the courts would throw it out. But in reality, in my opinion, it was all just a setup. It was a setup to get to where we are now. And the way that this has worked out has been absolutely great, because the state of Texas has the right to take this directly to the Supreme Court and to bypass all the other steps that a normal process would go through. And they are challenging the constitutionality of what happens in the states of Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. Texas is saying that they violated the Constitution. And 17 states have now joined them. So there are now 18 states, along with the Trump administration, will be going before the Supreme Court and saying that those four states violated the Constitution. How did they do that? Well, let's go back primarily to Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania had specific law about absentee ballots could only be counted if they had to be in the elections office by 8 o'clock on election day. Anything that came in after that time was not considered a legal ballot. Well, when they had this huge move to go with absentee ballots and to mail out hundreds of thousands of absentee ballots, the Secretary of State and the governor on their own decided to extend that deadline 5 days. Well, and that's what the other states, the 18 states, are saying. You violated the U.S. Constitution when you did that because you do not have the right, based on the Constitution, to make that decision. When you come back to the U.S. Constitution, it says elections law in the state is the property and the right of the legislature. Only the legislature can set the law. And the Secretary of State in Pennsylvania willfully decided to change that date, change the law on their own without going to the legislature. And so the 18 states are saying that's a violation, a direct black and white violation of the United States Constitution. And what's nice now is that there's a total of 18 states. Now, why? And see, this was the best, quickest way to get it to the Supreme Court. And it was like this was kind of planned all along. They just kind of knew they were going to do this. And they always watched, you know, the deadlines of when to get it done. And as long as the Supreme Court justices are going to call themselves constitutionalists, they're pretty much going to have to make a decision and call it in favor of what Texas and the other states are bringing, because it's black and white in the Constitution. Elections process is a matter of law, and only the legislature can change that through their legislative process of creating law. So with that, now that goes to the Supreme Court. There's basically two decisions, two ways that they can judge on this based on the constitutionality. They can say, okay, because these states violated the Constitution, then they're going to throw out all of the ballots that came in after, you know, that deadline. And if you do that, you see, on election night at 8 o'clock, it was very clear that Trump was ahead in all four of those states. They can rule that. Or they can say, because of the violation of the law, we are not going to allow the electors from the states to be represented. And what that does, it removes those electors from those four states. And then neither Trump nor Biden has 270 electoral college votes. And if that is the case, then it goes to what is the next step in the Constitution. Because the Constitution says if neither candidate has the required electoral college votes, then the next step is the election goes to the Congress. The president elects the House of Representatives elects the president, and the Senate elects the vice president. But here's what's important to understand. It's not the individual members of Congress that have a vote. It's each state has one vote. Now, I've heard two different stories. I've heard the Republicans have 26 states, and I've also heard that I've heard they had 29 states. In another report, I saw that they had 30. But everybody is saying the Republicans have the majority of the states. Because, see, here's what's important. The state of Wyoming has the lowest population of any state in the country, and it has only around 460,000, 480,000 people. They have one member in the House of Representatives. Yet the state of California, the most populous state, has 55 members in Congress. But Wyoming counts just as much as California. So what's happening here is these small population Midwest states are all dominant Republican states in the Midwest, and they are going to carry the majority. So it's basically what it's coming down to is it really looks like if the Supreme Court rules in favor of that, that Trump's going to be back and being president. Now, there has been an absolute, without a doubt, an effort to keep him from being there. And it's back to what I shared in the program 3 weeks ago, where I shared this video of George Soros about 3 or 4 years ago at the World Economic Forum saying, we are here to create a new world order. Now, the World Economic Forum is basically the billionaire club. It's the extremely wealthy, powerful, elite people that really run and control this world. And they want to create a new world order, i.e. a one world government. And they're calling it the Great Reset. And they are adamant about wanting to do that. And Soros came right out and said, Donald Trump and the Trump administration is what stands in the way of our new world order. And he said he was going to do whatever it took to make sure Trump was not going to be reelected. And what we're seeing is their power behind the scenes doing that. See, here's what's really important to understand. Trump absolutely believes and is supporting what is called the sovereignty of the individual, the power of the republic, where we are a republic, a government of the people and by the people. And the New World Order doesn't want that. They want power and control to be stripped away from the individuals, where it goes into the hands of just a few. And that's why you're seeing this big, huge battle that's going on. Now, I posted on my Facebook page, there's about an 18-minute video that is one of the best I have seen that summarizes this battle over this election and why they are trying to make sure that Trump doesn't get elected. So I think what I'm going to do here tonight, we're going to watch this 18-minute video. So let's do this here now, and here we go.
2020 has been a year like no other. Everything we know, everything we trust, and everything we've come to rely on has changed. So how can we expect the U.S. election to be any different? Mainstream media are telling us the race is over, Biden won, time to move on. Nothing to see here, folks. But in your gut, you know something's just not right. From the strange patterns on election night, to the weeks of suspense, to the reports of fraud that evaporate faster than Biden's memory, it just doesn't add up. Stay with me, and you'll see just what's going on behind the scenes in this election, and why the greatest threat we're facing right now is not an invisible enemy invading our bodies, but one that's invading our country and our minds. Welcome to Man in America. I'm your host, Seth Holehouse. Let me ask you, how do you know what's happening in the world right now? How do you know what's going on in this country or even your city? I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume you probably turn to mainstream media, which includes social media. Perhaps you watch Tucker in the evenings or read New York Times Sunday morning or check Facebook on your lunch break. So how do you know what's going on in the U.S. election? What did you think on election night when historically red states and battleground states were stalled while blue states were immediately called for Biden? Or when Fox called Arizona with so many votes still out, of course, for Biden? And how about the late night ballot dumps that were somehow all for Biden? and the batches of pristine mail-in ballots also all for Biden. And then there were the burst water pipes and the power outages and the computer glitches and issues with Sharpie pens and lost USB drives that somehow all favored Biden. And then we have the hordes of dead voters, once again, all for Biden. The dead people really did vote for Biden. I fact-checked it. And what are the odds that all the last-minute changes to our election process and voting laws in the name of COVID also favored Biden? And how about all the counties with more votes than eligible voters, or where they got more mail-in ballots than they even sent out? In Pennsylvania, they sent 1.8 million mail-in ballots and got back 2.5 million. And last but not least, we've got Dominion, the voting system with ties to socialist Venezuela that was programmed to manipulate votes for Biden while sending our data to China, Iran, and Russia. And when the system crashed because of the Trump landslide, key battleground states simply decided to stop counting and head on home. When has this ever happened before in U.S. history? This is just the tip of the iceberg. Every one of these reports should be serious grounds for investigation. Thousands of poll workers, postal workers, election officials, and honest Americans, both Republican and Democrat, have come forward with photos, videos, and firsthand stories affirmed by sworn affidavits documenting massive voter fraud. Social media has been flooded with them, yet mainstream media keeps asking, where is the evidence?
Once everyone is gone, coast is clear, they are going to pull ballots out from underneath a table. Watch this table. Do you see the gentleman in the red? So he just pulled one out. So what are these ballots doing there, separate from all the other ballots? And why are they only counting them whenever the place is cleared out with no witnesses?
Where's the evidence?
I'm here with Elliot right now at his wedding, and we were taking the trash out, and I wanted to show you guys what we found in the trash can at St. Anne's, which is a polling place.
Donald Trump. And there's more ballots inside that trash.
But we will say we did find one Biden.
Where's the evidence?
Can you calculate how much of a vote that accounted for Biden and how much for Trump?
Close to 600,000. I think our figures are about 570,000-some-odd that all those spikes represent over time.
For Biden?
Correct.
And how much for Trump?
I think it was a little over 3,200.
Now, hold on. Didn't they just drag us through a baseless four-year witch hunt into Russian election interference over far less evidence? And isn't it their job to be digging for evidence? Wouldn't Nixon have gotten away with Watergate if the media didn't dig for evidence? Not only aren't they digging for it right now, but they're burying it in a giant game of whack-a-mole, along with their comrades over at Twitter, Facebook, and Google. Of course, they have their fact-checkers debunk everything first. These arbiters of truth who have more conflicts of interest than flavors of ice cream in Nancy Pelosi's freezer. Even President Trump's tweets are so-called fact-checked and censored, and his press conferences are interrupted and cut off.
Okay, here we are again in the unusual position of not only interrupting the President of the United States, but correcting the President of the United States.
Think about what this means. The President of the United States of America is being censored by U.S. companies. This whole thing reeks of corruption. And not just corruption, but treason. It's such a joke that I'd be laughing if it wasn't so serious. But it is serious. Because let's assume for a moment that just a fraction of the fraud reports are true. If mainstream media and social media didn't let you see or even talk about them, how would you even know? Think about it. If our election was stolen and our government was overthrown and yet they kept it all hidden, how would you know? If mainstream media can completely control public opinion and the flow of information, including from our president, does the truth even matter? What if I told you that every single one of our mainstream media, including Fox, is being used as a tool to manipulate public opinion and steer the outcome of the election. Perhaps a year ago, you might have called me a conspiracy theorist, but considering we've all been living in the twilight zone lately, you're probably starting to realize that anything's possible. Just try to wrap your head around this. How did the media so accurately predict the long delays in counting votes and the red mirage before the blue wave? And why did they spend months downplaying the risks of mail-in ballots while sowing the seed that Trump would claim voter fraud and refuse to concede? Do they have a crystal ball? Why did Hillary Clinton tell Biden not to concede under any circumstances all the way back in the summer?
You know, Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances.
Why did they spend the last 4 years using every possible tactic to undermine Trump's presidency in the most relentless smear campaign the world has ever seen? And why did every single mainstream media rush to coronate Biden and cement him into the public mind? Now do you understand why he told voters, I don't need you to get me elected?
I don't need you to get me elected.
It never mattered that he hid in his basement all summer. It never mattered that only 5 people turned out to his rallies. And it never mattered that he couldn't even string a sentence together.
True, and I suffered depression.
It never mattered that the majority of Americans chose President Trump on November 3rd. And it doesn't matter that their fraud is more obvious than the stains on Monica Lewinsky's dress. Because when you control every single channel of information, nothing else matters. Right now, big media, big tech, big government, and even celebrities are blanketing us with the narrative that Biden won, while censoring all evidence of fraud and concealing the very real truth that our nation is facing its greatest threat since the American Revolution. Because as our founding fathers knew all too well, the moment we no longer have free speech and a free press to keep the government in check, we no longer have a democracy. I'm going to level with you now. Anyone who has escaped communist China, Russia, Cuba, or North Korea can see the writing on the wall. In 1963, the communist goals to overthrow the United States were entered into congressional record. They stated, capture one or both of the political parties, infiltrate the press, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. After this election, it's pretty clear these goals have been achieved. And the more you look into it, the more you see that all roads lead to China, or more specifically, the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP. Guess who owns the majority share of Disney, which includes ABC and 20th Century Fox? The CCP. Guess who owns a massive chunk of Hollywood, including AMC theaters and legendary film studios? You got it, the CCP. Guess who pays millions of dollars to mainstream newspapers, including the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, to publish their propaganda? The CCP. And guess who's given the Biden family billions of dollars? Yes, the CCP. Now do you see why Biden is the media's darling? On the contrary, who's been the biggest thorn in the CCP's side? Who stood up to their abusive trade policies and slapped them with billions of dollars in tariffs? Who dismantled their stranglehold on manufacturing and brought American factories and jobs back home? Who stopped the pillaging of U.S. intellectual property? Who put serious penalties in place for violating religious freedoms? And finally, who had the guts to call a spade and rightfully point a finger at the CCP for concealing a virus that has crippled our entire world? President Trump. Now do you understand why they hate him so much? They've been coming after America, coming after you and I for decades, and their plan was basically complete. That is, until President Trump got in their way. Right now, we're in a battle for our republic. The enemy is already inside the gates. Even those we thought we could trust have turned on us. They're not fighting with guns and bombs, no, but with words, ideas, and narratives. Because what they're fighting for are our minds. In 1956, communist leader Khrushchev said, "We will take America without firing a shot. We do not have to invade the U.S. We will destroy you from within." I hope you can see now that the invisible enemy is communism, and the most deadly virus is the Chinese Communist Party. It sneaks into a country through the vices of corrupt politicians, businessmen, and people with power and influence. It rips through cities and towns, bodies and minds, leaving no stone unturned, no soul untouched, and a trail of death and destruction in its wake. It sows its seeds by convincing us that lies are truth, evil is good, and hatred is love, that division is unity, and that our enemies are each other. Man versus woman, rich versus poor, black versus white, left versus right. It takes root when we feel helpless, afraid, and alone. It erases our history and slanders our forefathers and teaches our children to hate themselves, their families, and their country. It ridicules our beliefs, undermines our values, and attacks our way of life. It even demands that we kneel down in shame. But we will not be ashamed. It can't pull the wool over our eyes anymore because we know who we are. We fought to escape tyranny. We bled to end slavery. We revere the brave men who died to secure our freedom. We welcome people of all races and religions. We love our neighbors. We help the poor. We cherish our families. We work hard for what we have. We unite in times of hardship. We know good from evil and truth from lies. And we know that our rights don't come from the government, but from God. And we will fight to the death to protect those rights. The time ahead is critical. We, the people, need to call upon our president to defend us from enemies, foreign and domestic, and uphold his oath. For the time being, we still have free press and free speech at our fingertips. But if we don't grab hold of them now, we'll lose them forever. Independent, honest media companies like OAN, Newsmax, and the Epoch Times will guide us out of the darkness, while mainstream media will only drag us further down. It's time to stop giving them our money, our attention, and our minds. Unlike their Facebook pages, unsubscribe from their emails, unfollow them on Twitter, delete their apps, and stop visiting their websites. Support the countless patriots who've gone through hell and high water to get this information to you. Like their content, subscribe to their channels, share their videos, spread their message. Stop using Google search. Google is censoring every result and robbing you of your right to know the facts. Start using DuckDuckGo and compare them. You'll be shocked. Get off Twitter and Facebook and switch to Parler. Join millions of patriots who have already turned their backs on these toxic companies who dare silence our voices. Join the millions of patriots who are standing up and rallying across the country, demanding justice and rejecting communism. Our enemies snuck in during the night and tried to use the media to lull us to sleep while they stole our country. But instead, they awoke the sleeping giant. We see them for who they are now. And they'll never be able to fool us again. They tried to trigger a great reset, but instead, they triggered a great awakening. We will not look back 5 years from now and tell our children that we did nothing as our nation was stolen. We will tell them that we fought for and won our freedom just like our forefathers in 1776. America is the last bastion of freedom in the world. We are the only remaining threat to the CCP virus. If we fall, the world will fall. But we will not fall. It's time to stand with our founding fathers and to invoke the power of we the people and the power of God. We are the patriots. Join us.
That video is one of the best that I've seen that kind of summarizes the whole story. Now, already on my Facebook page, some of you I've seen this as, where can you get that? It's there on my Facebook page. Just scroll down a little bit, you know, from tonight's program. And also then you can also just put in the title into YouTube and you will find it as well. I wouldn't be surprised if that gets, you know, pulled, you know, fairly quickly. Because YouTube put out an announcement today that they are basically going to start blocking anything that questions the election. And here's what's amazing when you're really seeing what I call the hypocrisy of this. 18 states have petitioned to the Supreme Court saying that this election is a fraudulent election. So YouTube thinks they know more than 18 states. And I wouldn't be surprised if more states join them as well, because it just came out today. What you're seeing there, again, is this complete attempt to rob us of what goes on. Now, when you come back again to the World Economic Forum, what is called the New World Order, i.e. the cabal, basically they want to, in essence, destroy our current republic system so they can pull the United States into this one world government, because we are the hope of the world for what is called individual sovereignty, the right of individuals, the right to think for myself. When we have that, if they get what they want, this establishment of New World Order, they will start taking away our right to think for ourselves, and we'll begin to dictate to us what we can and cannot do instead of having the choice of deciding as a collective. We come back to our founding documents that we are a government of the people and by the people. And we basically pretty much have lost that right now. Even President Carter said a couple of years ago that we are no longer a republic, that we had become an oligarchy, that we had become a government that is a government of the corporation and by the corporations on behalf, I should say, at the sake of the people, at the cost of the people. The corporations are doing what is best for them in contrast to what the people actually want. And what we're seeing is our politics is surrendering to that. This is our opportunity to basically to stand up and say, no, we're not going to surrender our sovereign rights as individuals to be a government of the people and by the people, and we're going to recapture this. Now, what's going to happen in the ruling of the Supreme Court, which we'll probably know, the first parts of that will probably come out in a couple of days, because what they have to do is put a stay on the Electoral College process. And then they've got all the way up until, you know, another month or 5 weeks before they make the decision, before anything happens. But there's different, you know, ways people can read into that. But that's how I see that as what they have to do. And if they do that, and as myself and others believe Trump gets back in, I think we're going to really then start seeing what is called the draining of the swamp. Now, I cannot substantiate or verify with tangible evidence what I'm going to say here, but myself and others believe this fairly strongly. You have to go back to when Trump was first elected, and within a month, he had designated General Flynn as his head of the National Security Office, of national security issues. And within 2 months, they had brought lawsuits against Flynn, and he had to be removed. Why were they so quick to go after Flynn and get him out? You have to understand who he was and the position that he was in. Flynn was a two-star general that was the top person for what is called military intelligence in the United States Army. Now, military intelligence is, they're the ones that gather information, gather issues that are going on. They are the ones that collect the information that can become a threat to us as a country. And military intelligence is this information. And we understand that the CIA and the FBI, they do all kinds of investigations, but neither one of those come close to the digging for information that can be a threat to this country as much as the military does, because that's the military's job. Their job is to protect us against all enemies, foreign and domestic, those within our own country. And if there's the one person in the United States Army that knows where all the bodies are buried, it was General Flynn. He was the person that knew everything of what was going on. He knew all the information about what was truly the deep state. Now, I had told you in the past, you've heard me talk about this gentleman called, you know, the general. And he's a retired military general, and I have met with him personally. And this is the man that when Trump became elected, he asked him to be the first one to be the head of the National Security Agency, and he turned him down. And then last January, when there was a new opening for Trump's chief of staff, he twice asked the general to be his chief of staff. And the general basically said, thank you, but no thank you. I spent 35 years as working for the government as a government employee, and I'm not going back to that. I can do my best work for you behind the scenes. In the meeting that I had with him, I asked him, I said, I had heard that there were a number of retired military officers that went to Trump and said that they needed him to run for president because they knew that the corruption was so deep that they needed someone to go in and basically clean up, you know, to drain the swamp. And when I was saying that to him, he looked right directly back into my eyes and he says, you're talking to one of them. Yes, it was myself and others that went to him and said we needed him. There were a group of retired military officers that felt if Hillary Clinton got elected, the corruption there was so deep that they were ready to pull a military coup on our country to restore our republic to ourselves. And so they have always been behind him. Well, when they got rid of Flynn, within a couple of months, it sent a very clear message. They were there to do whatever they could to stop Trump from draining the swamp. And myself and others feel that it was at that time that planners outside of the government, behind the scenes, started putting together basically a sting operation. And that this whole election fraud, they knew it was going to happen, but they set it up as a sting operation so they would get caught. And that's why they had been quiet through the whole process. And that's why it's been a deliberate step-by-step process through this whole way. And it's why even Sidney Powell has done what she has done, is removed herself from Trump's campaign team in this fraud situation, because it's better for her to not be a part of that team in a legal issue. Because these actions carry in the definition of treason against this country, an attempt to overthrow the Constitution and the right of the people, those are treasonous actions. And they are a threat to our country domestic threat. And because of that, they can fall under the banner of the military taking action. Now, I'm going to give you what is my opinion. Trump gets back in, Supreme Court rules in his favor, and you're going to start seeing military movement of the arrest, military movement of the takedown. And also, these cases can then be brought before a military tribunal. They do not have to go through the civil court system, because these cases will be considered a threat, a military threat to our country, and the military is standing up to protect us against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That's my opinion, and I think is what we're going to start seeing unfolding over the next couple of months. And for what a lot of people don't know, one of the reasons why Sidney Powell, the attorney who's been bringing the fraud, she removed herself from Trump's team because she is a qualified civilian attorney to try cases in military tribunals, which means she can be a prosecutor before the military courts of justice. So she can be the one who is the prosecutor bringing all these people before a military court of justice. And once you go into a military court of justice and that ruling is made, my understanding is there's no appeal process. It's done. And those people can be tried for treason. Now, before I want to share another video tonight, and this one is about 17 minutes long, and it was an update that came today from a gentleman by the name of Simon Parks. Simon Parks has been on top of this stuff absolutely from the get-go. He's very well qualified in what he says. But before we go to his video, Blanca, I want to bring you in, and then why don't you share your thoughts about, you know, what we just watched and some of the stuff that's going on here.
Well, I agree with you, Dave. This is a good summary of what's going on. I think a lot of people may have seen pieces of this or gotten wind of some of these things, but it's nice to have it all together. But in my opinion, one of the most important things he said was that if you're still depending on mainstream media to get your news, you're going to be missing a big chunk of this story, a big chunk of what's going on. And last time you and I talked about other sources for news, and we talked about like X22Report.com, Newsmax, One America News, which I can't remember if it was Newsmax or One America News, actually surpassed Fox in terms of viewers yesterday. We talked about WarRoom.org. There's a Conservative Treehouse, Conservative Playlist. Those people are bringing you the news about lots of these things that Dave was talking about. So they'll talk about the Supreme Court filing that Texas made, and there's about 18 total, including Texas, so far that have entered this case. You won't hear about this. You'll hear about, oh, Trump lost this case, Trump lost that case. You'll hear about that, but you won't hear about this one. I mean, I pay attention to some mainstream media. I can't stand it, but I pay attention to it just to see if anything pops up, and it's amazing. It doesn't. So I think to me, I think you summarized real well the important points of this, Dave. But one point I do want to bring out is there's a lot of news out there, and so pick wisely so that you'll get news that is actually illuminating you as to what is happening, as opposed to someone who's trying to program you for the old. And one of the topics that Dave's talked about is the two tracks that humanity is going to go into. One can be the sovereign integral, and then the other is the transhumanist agenda. Well, the mainstream media, they're the ones supporting the transhumanist agenda. They're the ones encouraging everybody to lock themselves up, put your mask on, be first in line for your vax. All that is part of the plan, the great reset that Dave has been talking about. So to me, that's one of the most important points. And finally, even the mainstream media
is talking in these terms. One lady at MSNBC, she actually said, right-wing media like Fox are creating an alternate reality for their viewers. You have a true alternate reality. I mean, they are pumping flagrant lies into millions of viewers. So they're panicking. They're realizing that we are not playing in their little program reality. No longer are we sheep. We are actually plugging into the reality that we are creating. And I noticed she said, you have a true alternate reality, which to me was her saying, our reality is the false one. So that's the only thing I would add to that discussion.
Yeah. Let me make a comment, folks. I know that I come over Facebook for my live streaming. I am not a Facebook fan, okay? But I still do it because that's still where a very large portion of the audience plugs into. But in the near future, I will be moving out of Facebook. The positive thing that you didn't see on the news today is there are now, I think it was about 40 states have filed a lawsuit against Facebook that of their dominance. Because see, Facebook not only owns Facebook, they also own Twitter and Instagram. And so they're basically, they have become an absolute monopoly in what they do. I'm going blank on the term, but they're basically filing a lawsuit to break them up and separate them, just as the Bell phone system was broken up. They put that out today. They have already filed the lawsuit against Facebook to break them up because they're too much of a dominant controlled monopoly, even against their own competition. So, I mean, that was some good news that was there. So I will be moving away from Facebook in the near future. And, you know, I'm not a big YouTube fan either based on what they're doing, but there still are sources, and that right now that's what we communicate. But other than that, I try to be minimal in what I do with them.
Well, the good thing is, Dave, being on Facebook and being on YouTube, a lot of people still will access those. And so we have the power to curate what it is we watch on YouTube or what it is we plug into on Facebook. We can be conscious of what we're plugging into. So you and I have talked many times about watching your attention, your mind. That's where the battle is taking place. So pay attention to who you're letting in, what kind of information, who you're paying attention to, and what kind of stories you're actually giving your energy to. Do you want to give your energy to the story that we're in line for freedom, that this cabal is finally going to be, you know, terminated, that we're going to be in a new, more open matrix? I mean, if that's the story you want to energize, then pick your information sources wisely.
Yeah. No, I made a misstatement. Facebook doesn't own Twitter. They own Instagram and WhatsApp. Those are the ones that they own. Twitter is separate. And the term I was looking for was basically antitrust. The states have filed an antitrust lawsuit against Facebook that, in essence, is going to break up the company. And I think they're probably going to end up winning on that. So now let me talk really briefly about Simon Parks before we watch his video. He's had some successive videos. I think this was his fourth or fifth one since the election. Simon Parks is basically, he's a British man, and he's an intelligence person. He has absolute excellent inside intelligence information sources. He has been offered a position multiple times to work for the White Hats in our CIA, and he has, you know, turned them down. But he did say a couple of weeks ago that he is taking a new position. He has signed a five-year contract, and he's going to be moving to the United States, and he says he's moving to Arizona. Folks, I know where he's going. He's going to basically Sierra Vista, Arizona, where Fort Huachuca is, because Fort Huachuca is the Army's military intelligence fort location. So he's going there to work with our military intelligence at Fort Huachuca in Arizona, which is down in southern Arizona. And he signed a five-year contract, and he did say, yeah, he's also going to become a U.S. citizen. But his sources are absolutely excellent in what he talks about behind the scenes, especially what he knows is going on here in the election. So let's watch this video. Now, I'll probably cut it off a little bit short because at the end it's just, you know, kind of some other stuff. But let's watch this one.
Hello, welcome to another quick update, Connecting Consciousness. The date today, I think, is the 9th. It's the 9th of December. First of all, thank you, everybody, who, you know, you do write lots and lots of comments. And, you know, we try as best as we can to look at some of them. And we don't really have a chance to respond to much, but we do try and read them. There were five comments that caught my eye. Basically saying, oh no, Simon, you've got it wrong. The Dominion machines that were caught out or were checked were not in Georgia, they were in Michigan. And then, because I'd said they were in Georgia, and then 12 hours later, the alternative news started to report that indeed the machines, Dominion machines, had been found to be flipping votes from Trump to Biden in Georgia, not Michigan. And the point is that what most people do is they listen to their favored sites, and then you hear a piece of information, and then you go and you look at your next favored site. And if that information is repeated, and you do this three or four times, then you can feel that you can believe it. So when someone listens to my site and I say something that nobody else is reporting, then those of you who don't really know me very well, I can't blame you. You've just come across to me recently. You'll be saying, oh, no, you're wrong, Simon, because you know that's not what everyone else is saying. Well, I often, not always, I often have information that is hours, days, weeks ahead of what most other people have. So I've received information that the Georgia Dominion machines, there was evidence now, electronic evidence that showed that they'd been flipping votes. And so when that post went out 12 hours later, between 8 and 12 hours later, then that news hit onto the alternative sites. So just because nobody else is saying what I'm saying doesn't mean that I'm talking nonsense. Okay. But as I say, I've been going for 10 years, and if you've, you know, not come across me, then I can understand, you know, I laid out what normally happens and why you'd think that. Okay, let's give you some more information. The chief executive officer of Dominion has received both an electronic and a physical service of a subpoena to appear in the court. I have not been told whether it's the Supreme Court of one of the states or the Supreme Court. I think it's SCOTUS. The chief executive is being subpoenaed to answer questions regarding the operation of the Dominion machines. That's a very, very big move. Every other chief executive, every other corporation will now put down their glass or their cigarette or whatever it is they do and will take note, because there could potentially be an arrest following from that. If the CEO of Dominion attends, answers the questions, and then goes, I guess he'd be on the first flight to China unless they take his passport off him. So that's a really big move. I didn't launch off with Texas, taking all the states to the Supreme Court and making a big deal of it, because those of you who have listened to me will know that the last podcast I did, I said to you the emergency was over. And I said that I know that you would be thinking, well, it's not over. You know, what's he talking about? But I knew that this was coming. And this is the game changer. So, again, I suppose that's a point where I'd been given information. I couldn't tell you guys, because if I'd said it, then people could say, how does he know? But the court hasn't even had the papers served, because that's, I don't know what the word is, it's something to do with, you know, you a contempt of court or something. You can't know that unless you're the person who's actually serving the papers. But the reason that on my last podcast I said, you know, the pendulum,
the needle has swung, we turned the corner, I feel a lot better about this, was because I had been told that Texas was going as a state to file. Now, the reason that they did that was simply because they did not want to go down the road of fraudulent votes. Now, that doesn't mean that there were no fraudulent votes. There were a ton of fraudulent votes. But the Supreme Court really and truly acts on matters of religion, matters of the Constitution, matters of great medical, such as abortion, the life and rights of people. These are the big issues. And litigation or fraudulent should be dealt with in the lower courts. But that, of course, takes days, weeks, months, sometimes years. And there isn't weeks and months. There's just days. And so when Pennsylvania legislature decided that they didn't want to stand up for the truth, when the Pennsylvania legislature decided they would cave in to their governor, the action that Texas took means that that doesn't matter anyway. I mean, I'm hearing that the Pennsylvania legislature is saying that they were an unconstituted body. They became illegal in November 2019. They weren't reconstituted. And people I've spoke to, there's been three of them now, who've said, well, it looks like the bad guys have got something on them. You know, cowards is a good word for them. Traitors is another word. These are all very strong words. So these are the words that people are using to me, not what I'm saying. And the third person said, well, I think that the deep state's got some stuff on these guys and they're just desperately trying not to, you know, get involved. So the action by Texas means that it goes immediately to the Supreme Court, which you already know. Of course, you've picked up all the news. But what's not being widely reported is that the date of the 14th of December in this action that Texas has brought is being asked to be pushed back. The 14th is when it should all be brought together and all the states report their college votes. This is not the same as going in January to ratification for the House, etc. But the Texas lawsuit, if I can call it that, means that if that's all done, then the Supreme Court has the right to push the date back from the 14th of December, possibly into January. Now, the advantage of that is it gives everybody more time and it prevents the states reporting. In other words, they cannot officially declare Biden as the winner, because at the moment, only the media and China have declared Biden the winner. But if the Supreme Court prevents the states from reporting until, let us just say, the 5th or 6th of January, that pushes the whole procedure back. So that's a big deal there. There's been some talk about all these arrests, and people have been asking me, has Obama been arrested? Has this person been arrested? And I've been, you know, you guys have given me quite a list of names which I've picked up, and a couple of them I did actually pass up the pipe back up, and the message came back, no, not yet. So you may not have the names that you would like or I would like, but the key word there was not yet. Not yet. So that's hopeful. So we've got a very big turn of events, which now is in the public domain, and you're aware of that. That's why I was so much more relaxed and relieved. There is no way that Biden is going to win. There is absolutely no way. We will see some arrests, and I do hope we see some courts martials. I actually do. And there's other bits of information which I can't give yet, but I will give perhaps in 2 or 3 days' time. Not because I'm trying to string you fellas along, because I don't charge for my information. My information is free. I only ask for donations. But when I'm okay to give some more information, then I will. So I don't see any difficulties on the horizon. Clearly, the deep state will respond in its own way, excuse me, whether that's more arson attacks, on icons of liberty, whether it's an attack on an individual, whether it's some form of other statement, we don't know. But for those of you who haven't listened to me for a long time, maybe you've been kind enough to try and catch up on some of my previous stuff. You will only probably have gone back about a month. But what I did say, and it might be worthwhile just repeating it, was that I got video last year or the year before of a special operations team that went into an American city to remove a sealed container, which was in a derelict building, which had been owned by the Chinese attaché, and it was been turned over to a Chinese English school or some form of cultural society or cultural mission. And I had the video, which I shared quite freely, of Black Hawk helicopters, special operations teams, abseiling down dead of night. It wasn't fake video. This is a real video because I know the source it came from. Cut through a grill on the outside, went in and brought out a box. I can tell you that that box contained a virus. It contained a virus. And the plan was that Chinese agents or agents working on behalf of China were going to release that virus 2018 or 2019 in the United States. That was back then. So when this COVID virus broke, I made it very clear that the information I had received was that Deep State had made a fantastically huge financial offer to one of the technicians in this biological laboratory in Wuhan that China operated. This guy put some into a file. And I know people are saying, you can't sneak out of a facility. Yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. If you're a laboratory worker and you're known, they don't even bother checking you over. And you've got a file, and I've described the file as about 3 inches long by about half an inch. He had it in his pocket, and he went out. He was to meet the agent at the Wuhan market because that was very populous, lots of people, very hard to be spotted. And they tried to do a deal. The agent offered a certain amount of money. Can tell you that the other guy refused, and therefore the agent attempted to take the file from this Chinese lab worker. There was a struggle. The deep state agent shot and fatally wounded this guy. Those of you who've done your research know that the market in Wuhan is flagstone covered. It's stone covered. The file went out of his hand and smashed. So the Chinese were right that the first virus was actually in that marketplace. What the Chinese didn't tell the world was that that was a bioweapon that they'd been creating in the Wuhan laboratory. That virus was to have been purchased by the deep state, brought to the United States, and I can tell you was going to be released in an American city. So that's the way that the beauty of the way that God works. So that virus never got America firsthand. It arrived secondhand, and that time delay allowed people to react. And so, yes, the deep state have used it as they planned to do, but it gave the good guys time to react. And that's why I'm old enough to remember the Hong Kong flu in 1968, I think it was. And I've seen lots of, pandemics, foot and mouth and avian bird flu and swine flu and all the rest of it. We never had to go around with masks. We never had lockdowns. So why did they do it? They did it for two reasons. First, because it was a bioweapon and nobody truly knew just how it was going to be. And secondly, the deep state had always planned to release it, but not in China, in the United States. And their agents in high political office were going to then just close everything down, destroy the economy of America, destroy the will of the American people and in Europe and in Britain to use it as a cover. But because of what happened, it gave Trump and other good guys precious weeks to work out the plan. Okay? So those of you who have not caught that up, I just want you to have that, some idea of where we're coming from. So please understand that this steal for the election is just another part of this deep state, which is coming from China, in an absolute attempt to destroy the United States of America, because it is the one power that stands in China's way. Russia doesn't really stand in its way because Russia's interest is different. China is in direct economic competition with the US. And China already controls Europe, the European Union. That is why Great Britain, on the 31st of this month, is leaving the European Union. We never liked the deep state. We never really, as a peoples, we saw, perhaps not to the detail that we talk about, but ordinary people saw something was wrong. But that is why the British voted to leave. And so we can see Europe descending into a sort of a communist-run one-world European government, basically. And I do hope that, you know, when things are cleared up, then Canada, Britain, US, Australia, New Zealand can actually get together and form a proper trade deal, properly work things out. And then countries such as India can join in. Russia, I think Russia depends on how much they've been influencing the steel of the election. If it's just very peripheral, I'm sure that there's a place for Russia. The real problem is China and Iran. And the other thing that I just wanted to say was that the the Iranian scientist in effect was killed by an AI-controlled machine gun. There were agents at the scene as well, but the witnesses saw four dead bodies and assumed that those were the dead bodies of the assassins. They were actually the bodyguards who were killed. So how that machine gun was worked, it was fitted onto a truck. It was controlled by a satellite, not by a drone, because the Iranians actually are quite good with their drones. So it was controlled by a satellite. There was a camera on the machine gun. It fired a burst of 9 rounds. 4 of those rounds went through the windshield of the first vehicle, and the rest targeted on the scientist who was standing about a foot away from his wife. So accurate was this weapon, it didn't even harm the wife. It killed the scientist. And the other agents that were around then fired on the bodyguards. And then to try and get rid of the evidence, there was a self-detonation device which blew up the truck to destroy the evidence. But, you know, the Iranians are pretty good, and they did back engineer some of it, and they worked out how it had happened. And interestingly enough, we're just quickly on this, Mike Pompeo today having a chat, and he did make the comment, I don't know if you picked it up, he said that America, in terms of, didn't say nanotechnology, I think he said microcircuitry, that America is ahead of Iran in microcircuitry. Now, you might think, why would he say that? Because 7-8 years ago, maybe not quite as long as that, but one of the most advanced drones was brought down over Iran. It wasn't a Predator drone, it was a Sentinel drone, which you don't ever see pictures of, really. But the Sentinel drone was brought down, and in the Sentinel drone was the most advanced microchips. When the Iranians got that, they closed the gap on America, and they actually overtook Russia, and they were within 2 to 3 years behind the United States. Well, the United States now has moved on, and that's why Pompeo was saying that now, from microcircuitry point of view, the United States is well ahead of Iran. And that was another little dig at the weapon that was used, because microcircuitry had to be used for the downlink from the satellite to the machine gun. Anyway, I didn't mean to tell you that. I just want to give you a lecture, but there you go. All right, speak to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Simon Parks, as I said, he's such a great, you know, source of information. You can just basically go into YouTube and put in his name, Simon, and then his last name is spelled P-A-R-K-E-S. And you will then get access to his site and where he has all these videos that is there. He's a very, very good source of information for this type of stuff. Now, I want to make a very practical statement about something that I had picked up last week. I talked about it at the workshop over the weekend that we had in Las Vegas, and a lot of the people there understood what I was saying. And then had another big confirmation come out on Sunday afternoon. When you look at these secret societies, basically the cabal and the others, now I don't understand all their rules of operation, But part of their rules of operation is if they are going to take some sort of an action that is going to be detrimental on various aspects of humanity, in so many words, they have to broadcast it. Now, the broadcast may be in a very subtle way or subtle manner, but they have to broadcast it out so it's not an absolute complete secret. There's no question, you heard Simon Parks, you know, also what we're saying, that the whole COVID-19 situation right now is a part of this cabal-run New World Order effort to get control of humanity. Part of it was to kill a lot of people, but more than that, it was to see, would we surrender to wearing the mask and being dependent upon them, and could they control us? Well, if you were able to watch or understand a lot of their stuff, they were projecting this 2 years ago. They would repeatedly talk about, expect the fact that we're going to have an attack come upon us from a virus that's going to basically, you know, affect humanity, blah, blah, blah. That was their way of projecting out, telling the world what they were going to do. Well, there was a new one that I saw about a week ago, or a week and a half ago. Klaus Schwab is the head of this World Economic Forum. In essence, he's the guy that heads up the organization that the cabal, you know, the billionaire club, runs. He came right out, he and an associate of his put out two separate statements, and Klaus Schwab put out a statement in writing saying there is a high potential and probability that we may, you know, have to deal with an attack that's going to come onto our electrical grid systems. Folks, I take this as that's what they're doing, to basically say the next step that they are going to take to attempt to control us is they are going to make it look like it's a terrorist attack on our electrical grid systems, and we can expect massive, massive amounts of electricity systems to just go down. There have been reports that one of the greatest vulnerabilities that we have to a terrorist attack here in the United States is in our electrical grid systems. In the western United States, almost all of the states west of the Rockies, they're all tied into one specific spot. You could, if you knew where that spot was, and if you could bring a bomb into that thing, you could basically take down all of the electricity in the whole western United States at the same time, and it would take weeks, if not to a month, to get it back up and operating again. Because that's been part of it. In my personal opinion, I just think the cabal just made their announcement to the world that the next thing they're going to try to bring to us, to control us, is they're going to shut the electricity down. Their primary element of control is fear. Nowhere in recorded history, modern recorded history, have we had an event where one single issue has brought the whole world under fear at the same time, because the COVID-19 issue has done that. In the past, they would manipulate or start wars. Well, wars are fearful events. They keep humanity in fear, but they're isolated to a specific part of the world, and halfway around the world, you don't even know if there's a war going on. Or if it is, it's just off in the news somewhere. But this is the first time we've had the whole world under the fear of a single item, and it's this virus. Imagine the fear that gets generated in people if all of a sudden now most of the electricity in the United States and Europe in the modern world is gone. This is a prime opportunity for them. If Trump gets in, goes on his attack on the New World Order, starts arresting certain people, and starts bringing down the deep state, that would be a prime time for them to attack the grid system, because everything gets shut down, and it shuts down their operations to continue to move forward. What I'm saying, folks, is be ready for that and don't be surprised. Now, that came out about a week and a half ago. And then Sunday, the follow-up message from Barbara Marciniak and the Palladians basically said the same thing. They were basically saying that expect it to be, they were basically quoting Joe Biden. The Palladians were quoting Joe Biden saying, Joe Biden is saying there's going to be, it's going to be a dark winter. And they were saying that's code for expecting the fact that your electrical systems are going to get shut down this winter. Make sure you have your generator and gas that you will need to have a backup system in your home for at least 2 to 3 weeks, and you got food for 2 to 3 weeks. Now, anybody who lives in an area that's subject to natural disasters, you should always have this anyway. You should always have a generator for and a 5 gallon can of gas to back up, you know, so that you have something and have some extra food and water for an emergency. But there's these sources are basically laying forward, and I think that is the cabal again putting out the message saying expect this. That's going to be their next step because they're getting desperate. They are here for power and control, and they want to create this new world order. They want to bring us under a one world government. And to do that, they put people in fear, and then they step in as the rescuers and saviors to see this is what we can do for you. They'll say, your country can't even take care of you. You can't even save yourself. You need us. It's that type of a scenario, and I think there's a high probability we might see that. So make sure you have a generator and some gas, you know, for an emergency. Okay, that's all I want to say on those notes. So, Blanca, why don't you come on in and share with us your thoughts on this?
Well, I enjoyed Simon Park's update, and I agree he also has some really good insights. And I like the fact that his updates are usually succinct. They're short. Some people can carry on for a good while. The interesting thing is he was correct in that the Georgia machine was found flipping votes. I think it was in Ware County in Georgia. But also it is correct that there were 22 Dominion machines in Michigan. A judge ordered forensic investigation of those machines. The ironic part, it was because someone else had another issue. I think there was a marijuana law or something, and they had issues with the way the votes came out. And so I think it was kind of a way to kind of sneak past the people who are watching about this election thing. And so they're going to do a forensic investigation on 22 machines in Michigan. And I imagine we'll probably hear the results of that sometime this week. So actually both of those people were right in terms of the machines that we're getting looked at. And proves a point. For example, listening to Simon Park, that sort of an update you're not going to get from listening to CNN. So I'm really harping on this. The other reason I'm harping on it is because, as you mentioned, they've made an announcement that basically they're going to up the censorship, especially now that I think more reporting from what's going on in the Supreme Court is going to come out. They're going to try to jam information, and they may even throw Trump's Twitter account out. So start getting comfortable with some other forms of getting your information so that you don't feel totally in the dark.
I just wanted to make, while you were talking, you know, about the voting machines, in a previous video, I think it was 2 videos ago, Simon Parks does an excellent job of describing how the military went into Germany and acquired the voting machines there and what happened there. He gave a really detailed information of what took place there. And he is the one source that has been saying that, in essence, Gina Haspel, who is the head of the CIA, they caught her on site trying to shift the voting machines at that office in Germany. What in the world is the director of the CIA doing in Germany trying to wipe out these voting machines? their military intelligence was watching her, knew this was a potential, and when they saw their go-her, they went there and took possession of her, and they placed her under arrest, and they were transferring her to Gitmo. And there's no question that she's going to be tried for treason, because they caught her hot with the goods in hand, and Simon Parks is the one that explains that and gives the details on that because of his inside information. That's huge, folks. That's huge when the director of the CIA is caught in a treasonous espionage attempt to overthrow the United States government. Big. So, and he's got more to the story, and you can go there and listen to what's going on with that. But, okay, back to you, Blanca. So,
very good. So right now, in terms of what to look for, there's a lot going on. But I think key things is, like you mentioned, the Supreme Court case. That is key to take a look at what's going on there. The other is the issue you brought up about the national security issue, because there was an executive order that put this election under national emergency. So national intelligence is involved in checking what happened. They were actually watching real time. So pay attention to the storyline there, because there is reports of many troops being moved around the nation. One guy who pays attention to Army flights and military flights over the continental United States is a guy named Monkey Works, W-E-R-X. And so he'll show screens, computer screens of the flights, and he's pointed out that sometimes there's as many as five times as many military airplanes over the continental United States than what he's seen before. He reported that there were a lot of C-130s going into Nellis Air Force Base in Arizona. So if you want to kind of keep track of the national security issue, I think those are two big storylines. And then the other thing that kind of popped up is some people are talking about that Biden might actually cut a deal. So there's various strains to this story, and it's an exciting time for us, especially if you're writing the timeline of that we are going to reinstate our republic, we're going to defend our republic, we're going to cast aside this phony government that's really composed of a lot of people who are not serving we the people. And so it's a very exciting time for us.
Yes. So, well, if you're ready, Blanca, I'm ready to open it up to callers who, if they want to call in, ask some questions or want to make some comments. And because I've kind of said everything that I needed to say tonight and what I wanted to share with folks. So are we ready to do that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Can you give a phone number?
Yeah, folks, if you want to call in and if you have, you know, some questions or you want to make some comments, the number is 515-605-9356. Again, 515-605-9356. Press 1 on your touchtone phone, and then that lets us know that you'd like to come on the air. You know, when you made the comments about the flights, in fact, in one of the previous videos, again, Simon Parks mentions that. He says he has access to that as well. They can watch, you know, what is called, you know, the radar screens about the flights. And he said right after the election, there were a lot of flights going from the United States into that airbase that was close to those Dominion servers in Germany. And then he said about 4 or 5 days after that, all of a sudden there was about 4 to 5 times the number of flights going into Gitmo. There was a whole lot of flights going into Gitmo. So he basically was believing that a lot of people have already been sent there and that they caught him in treasonous affairs. Yeah.
Yes. It's kind of fun to watch this gentleman provide it, because right when the heat was on Governor Kemp here in Georgia, the next day he reported that a Learjet flew out of Cartersville, Georgia to Gitmo. And I thought, coincidence?
Wow. Okay. Well, let's just go to the first caller, and we're not going to take the time to pre-screen you, but the first caller there, your area code is 868. So we're going to go to you, area code 868. You're on the air. Share us your name and what can we help you with?
Hello, this is Gerald from Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay.
Yeah, and Dave, I was just trying to figure out if China is, or the Communist Party is behind all this? How does that work with the dragon families, the Chinese dragon families wanting to help with the currency,
the dragon,
et cetera?
That's a great question. The dragon families have always basically risen above the power and the ability of the Communist Party, because if they really wanted to, they could take it over. Now, the dragon families basically don't involve themselves into what are called governmental or political affairs. The way they look at it is that governments come and go, world leaders come and go, and other issues come and go, but they've been responsible for all of this money for thousands of years. And the Chinese government basically cannot control the dragon families. That's how it was explained to me. Now, on another note, for the people who are already involved with me and the money that's in the Texas processing office, you've heard me say that that money was being held at a bank in Hong Kong. That money has all been moved out of Hong Kong. It's out. It's totally out of the country of China or Hong Kong, and none of that money is no longer there. So, yeah, that's how it's been explained to me. Does that make sense?
Okay. Thank you. Yes, yeah, makes total sense.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. All right.
Keep up the good work.
Yep, thank you. Okay, Blanca is, we're going to go right into area code 214. That's the next caller I'll take. Area code 214, this is Dave. You're here on the air. Share with us your name and what's your question?
Hey, Dave, this is Bob, your audio guy in Dallas.
Oh, yes. Hi, Bob, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Hey, I had one question. I wanted to know which direction the swamp drains, clockwise or counterclockwise.
I saw you put that on the Facebook page. What do you think? I'll let you answer that question. Why don't you tell us which way it drains?
Well, because we're on the northern hemisphere, I guess it drains clockwise.
Yes, I think it does, doesn't it, in the northern hemisphere? Yeah, we're assisting in draining the swamp. Oh, Bob, thank you. I always appreciate your comments. They're always great, the ones you put in there on Facebook. So, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, anything else, or did you just want to...
No, that's it. Just want to tell you a joke.
Thanks, Bob. Okay. All right. Okay, bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye.
Well, Blanca, I think you said that the other person there was no answer. So
right.
I don't see anybody else. Do you see anybody else?
No, it doesn't look like. And when Bob said he was going to ask you which way the drain the swamp drained, I said, well, probably towards the left.
Towards the left. That's true. And, you know, that is clockwise. To the left is clockwise. Okay. All right. Well, folks, again, we had an absolutely wonderful workshop in Las Vegas over the weekend. I won't be doing anything until around probably the last week in January. I'll be having my list out probably in the next week or two, what's going to be the schedule for probably up through March or April and you know, that period of time, and where those places are going to be. And again, we always encourage you to want to come there, because I can share information at the workshops that I have to be careful. I can't, you know, share here, you know, over the air. I had a person send me an email in the last couple of days and was questioning about what I was doing, and they were listening to somebody else, and they says, how do you know this? And I responded back and says, you know, I work really, really hard on verifying my sources to make sure that my information is accurate and it's basically tangible. But here's what I know. You know, this whole currency exchange and this new world order, there's huge opposition coming from the cabal to the currency exchange, folks. This is not something that's just being laid out there. And I had to remind her, folks, I've had two assassination attempts on my life. Hello? That means that I'm a direct threat. So they don't go around playing games with stuff like that. They go after the people that are a threat to what they want to do. Now, I've been fine for the last couple of years. Everything has been fairly calm. So I have to be careful about what I say here on the radio sometimes. And I can share more information, you know, at workshops than what I can here. I can go into more detail about where it is, how I know it's there, where it's coming from and stuff like that. But how all this is a part of the bigger picture. It's all about all this money being released is a part of the bigger picture about how we get to counter what is the efforts of the cabal wanting to create this new world order, and that we are the ones that are here wanting and wishing and making sure that the sovereignty of the individual is what gets to move forward. So, well, Blanca, is there anything else you want to share with us before we call it a night?
No, I think we covered a lot of material today.
I did. I do too. And unless something comes up that I don't foresee, then, folks, so we'll probably then see you next week. And let's see if I can get the jingle coming. There it is. So thanks for joining us, folks. We'll see you next week.